Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We are less than a week away from the start of the NFL Draft. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by the Pro Football Focus draft analyst Trevor Sikkema joins us on the show today. Trevor, how you doing today, my man?
I am doing fantastic. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Absolutely. We're going to bounce back and forth between national and local. We will focus in on the Kansas City Chiefs, but let's start with this. I think the biggest question in this year's draft is, where is Shedeur Sanders going to go? So I'll ask you the question. Where do you think he's going to land?
That's a million-dollar question, right? I feel pretty confident that it's still going to be somewhere in the first round. I really just don't know. If I had to place some pride, some money on the line right now, I guess I would say the New Orleans Saints at number 9 just because it feels like it's the safest prediction to have of him. I still am not convinced the Giants are going to take him at number 3, despite the private meeting and the pro workout for him in New York this past week. I'm just not convinced that that's going to happen. I feel as though if we were leaning towards that being the case, we would have known a little bit more about that situation right now. And so if it does end up happening, I wonder if we had a little bit of ownership meddling here at the very end, making sure that they get a quarterback that they feel good about for the future. But the Saints certainly need a quarterback long-term. I think that we know that. And then the Steelers, who knows what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. I think them picking at number 21 in the first round, that could be a potential spot for them too. And if he happens to get past the Steelers, I got to think one of the Giants, the Cleveland Browns, somebody is going to trade back up into the first round to get him. So I do still think he's going in the first round, but those are all the possibilities, and I feel like it's kind of wide open for him right now.
What do you like about Shedeur as a prospect when you're breaking down his college film? What do you dislike about him? What would make him potentially fall in the draft?
Yeah, so when I look at the pros and cons, which everybody can see at the PFF draft guide, you can go over to pff.com and see all that and so much more. The things that I like about him is, you can tell that he's grown up around the game. You know, even if you take the name Deion Sanders out of it, you can tell that he has grown up around the game of football at a very high level. His fundamentals, I think, are fantastic all the way from his footwork throughout his throwing motion. It's all very married up. It's very in sync. He gets the most out of the arm talent that he has. And then certainly he knows how to read things pre and post snap. I think he recognizes defenses, respects defenses. Certainly he needs to get a little bit better when it comes to that pressure-to-sack conversion ratio. He took way too many of them the last couple of years, but I think that that's something that can get a little bit better in the NFL. So I think he plays a very clean brand of football and just understands the game at a pretty high level. The thing that holds him back from being somebody that I would be taking in the first round is the overall arm talent. I compare him, my pro comp for him is Teddy Bridgewater, and I don't think that that's as big of a knock as some people out there might think that it is. Teddy Bridgewater, when he was coming out of Louisville, ice in his veins, great fundamentals, knew how to read defenses, tough as nails under pressure, but Teddy didn't have the best arm out there. And I think that it's very on par with where Shedeur Sanders is. And I think if Teddy Bridgewater doesn't have that catastrophic knee injury that he had in Minnesota, we're still potentially talking about him as a starting quarterback. Now, would he have ever been a tier 1, tier 2 starting quarterback? that's where I maybe push back on that a little bit, and that's where my hesitation with Sanders comes into play. Because even in a perfect situation, is he ever going to be an individual tier one or tier two quarterback in the NFL? I think it's possible that he could get into that tier two in the right situation, but he doesn't have the type of arm talent that really stands out, that really gets you out of trouble, that can you feel great about going one-on-one against some of these aliens, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, guys like that. It's hard to see him just go. It's hard to bet on him going one-on-one against those guys. And I know it's a team game, but that's something that you think about when you're drafting a franchise-caliber quarterback. So those are my pros and cons for Shedeur Sanders.
Right now, we're talking to Trevor Sikkema. He is the lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. We're going to bounce back and forth between national and also cover the Chiefs here in a bit. I'm looking at your big draft board on PFF. You have Cam Ward as the 21st overall prospect, but he is going to go number one overall. It sounds like you are not in love with Cam Ward as a prospect to have him so low on your big board.
Yeah, he is somebody who, look, the floor is probably lower than you want it to be for a number one overall pick at quarterback, right? I mean, there are still things that he needs to work out. Some of the best games, some of the best moments that we have from Cam Ward this past season were him digging out of holes that he dug himself. He holds the shovel in both instances. And I think that that is something that you have to think about with him. So when I think about Cam Ward, and the reason why I still have him number one on my quarterback rankings and why I am okay with the Titans taking him at number one overall, is because at least he gives you the ceiling. At least he gives you a Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber ceiling that he could potentially hit there, because his best moments are that of quarterbacks that are major difference makers in the NFL. So that is sort of how I view Cam Ward, and I think that it's certainly the bust rate, if you will, if you want to use that term, maybe a little bit higher than a guy that you would want to take number one overall, but at least the ceiling is there to bet on.
I'm sitting here and I'm looking at your big board. You have Travis Hunter as the number one player on the board, but you don't mention him as a wide receiver, at least on this page. You mention his ability as a corner, and I agree with you. I think he is a chance to be an all-pro corner. I think we are looking at one of the truly most unique and talented players ever. Is that where you see him better positioned as a corner? But I think we also know with Travis Hunter, you get a lot more than that. He's going to be able to help you in the pass game. How do you view him as a wide receiver?
Yeah, so I think that if he gets drafted by the Cleveland Browns, which seems like that's going to be the case at number two overall, it seems as though they're mostly in on him as a wide receiver. And so we're going to get a lot of snaps, and we're going to get a good look at him as a wide receiver prospect in the NFL. Now, I still think that Cleveland, who their general manager, Andrew Berry, called Travis Hunter a Shohei Ohtani type of player, and anytime that you're doing anything like that, you better believe that they're going to give him a chance to play both sides of the ball. I would be playing him full-time at corner and then allowing him to have 10 to 15 snaps a game at wide receiver. That is the plan that I would have for Travis Hunter, because I think that's how you maximize his talent. I'm not so sure you'd be able to do the opposite, play him full-time at wide receiver and then just have him a handful of snaps per game, just go out there and try to manufacture chemistry with the rest of the defensive group. So I think that he is talented enough to play both sides. I agree with you. I think that he is more unique at the cornerback position, the footwork, the length, the ball skills. I think that his build and who he is as a player is more rare as a corner. And I think that we kind of saw the same thing with, you know, like a guy like Champ Bailey when he was coming out of Georgia. Obviously found a home at cornerback in the NFL, but Champ played both ways when he was at Georgia. He played as a wide receiver. He had a handful of starts at wide receiver, but obviously he ended up being a corner because I think the NFL looked at him like that and said, hey, you could have a bigger impact here because you are a more unique talent at the cornerback position. So that's sort of how I would encapsulate Travis Hunter. But to be honest with you, I would not put any restrictions on this guy. I would give him a full plate when he gets to the NFL and say, until you prove that you can't play both positions at a full-time level, I'm going to let you do it. And he seems to have the work ethic and the drive to want to do that.
So let's look at your big board. You have two Missouri products going in your top 15. You have Armon Mimbo, the very talented offensive tackle. You also have Luther Burden. Let's start, I guess, a two-part question. Do you see Mimbo as the best offensive lineman on your board? And with Luther Burden, it feels like the shine is off him a little bit, where I've seen some mocks that have him in the first round. I see some mocks that don't have him in the first round. Do you think he has solidified himself? Do you think he's going to be drafted on Thursday?
I don't know. And I think that it's crazy that I have to say that, because I think he's one of the most talented players in the class. Very clearly, with me having him still as a top 20 player, I think he should absolutely be drafted in the first round. But there seems to be some reservation. I wonder if it's just from a lot of the 2024 tape that didn't exactly have him running a diverse amount of routes. Certainly the production wasn't there like it was in 2023, but I just think that that was much more of a product of the rest of the offense around him, and not necessarily things that Luther Burden wasn't doing nearly as well or can't do in the NFL. So I'd be taking him in the first round, but he definitely seems like somebody who is that fringe first-round prospect at this point, might not make it into the first round when it comes to next Thursday. In terms of Armon Membeau, he's one of the best offensive tackles in the class, in my opinion. I know a lot of people have him as OT1. I still have Will Campbell from LSU ranked ahead of him. I still have him as my top offensive lineman in the class. But Membeau and then Josh Simmons from Ohio State, those are the two that I probably feel the best about. Okay, if you need a tackle and you don't want to worry about whether or not Will Campbell has the length to be a tackle at the NFL level, you'd be taking one of those two guys. And so, you know, I think that the New York Jets at number 7, I think the San Francisco 49ers at number 11, those are ideal landing spots for Membeau, if not maybe even number 4 overall for the Patriots.
So let's move specifically to the Kansas City Chiefs. If you look at the gambling odds, it seems very likely that they're going to take somebody who plays on the line of scrimmage, whether it's the offensive line or whether it's defensive line. Where do you think the first round grade gives you better value? Do you think it's on the offensive side or the defensive side of the line of scrimmage?
Well, I think specifically, the way that I would answer this question is, if you want an offensive tackle, you know, if that is what you want, you should draft one at the back end of the first round, because it just becomes much more difficult to find a starting caliber offensive tackle, even one who might wait his turn a little bit when he gets into the league, a little bit later in the draft. Whereas defensive linemen, edge rushers, defensive tackles, I think the Kansas City could absolutely find those guys on day two, even in the later portions of round two and round three. So if it's all sort of the same, and you say to yourself, if Brett Veach says, hey, we want to come out of this draft with a couple of defensive players and we want to come up with an option that we have maybe long-term at offensive tackle, I'd tell you the best course of action is most likely to prioritize offensive tackle at the back end of the first round, and then being able to get some contributing players, potentially even some starters, on a deep defensive line class a little bit later on day two.
The player who has been most mocked to Kansas City is Josh Simmons. Do you think he'll be on the board whenever Kansas City selects?
I actually don't. I think that there are too many teams that need offensive tackles, and I think that Josh Simmons' film was too good last year before he got hurt. Now, obviously, he suffers a meniscus tear, misses most of that season with the Buckeyes, does not get to contribute to their national championship run. So you have to take that into account. But, hey, as long as the medicals are all checking out, and it seems like they are, we haven't gotten any reports of like, oh, you know, these teams are flagging Josh Simmons' knee, it's not recovering the way they want it to. I haven't heard any of that. And, in fact, Josh Simmons has said himself, he's like, yeah, I seem to be pretty ahead of schedule right now, should be good to go for next season. And if that's the case, to me, his tape was too damn good at the beginning of last season for him to make it all the way to the back end of the first round. I just think that those top-tier offensive tackles, the ones that could be franchise-caliber offensive tackles, even in just potential, they almost never get to the back end of the first round. So I think Kansas City would love for him to make it there. I don't think he does.
Well, who do you think could potentially be on the board for them at 31, or do you think the Chiefs are going to have to package some picks and move up? Maybe you're looking at a guy like Josh Connerly, who came out of Oregon. I'm sure there's a couple of other options. Let's say that Simmons goes off the board earlier than people anticipate. Let's say he goes off the board at 18, for example. What do you think the Chiefs' next course of action should be?
Yeah, I think Connerly, the guy that you mentioned there, is a realistic target for them. I think he could absolutely be there for them at the back end of the first round. Maybe there's a chance that, you know, a guy like Kelvin Banks drops a little bit and you get within range, maybe get to trade up and draft him. Depending on how you view Donovan Jackson, I view him much more as a guard than I do an offensive tackle. So I wouldn't really consider him at that spot unless they wanted an interior, which I don't think that they would. I think that Connerly is the name that I just continue to come back to.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you want to wait until the end of the second round, maybe you have a chance to take a guy like Ariante Ursary, the tackle from Minnesota, maybe an Ozzy Trapillo from Boston College. Perhaps they view Wyatt Milam maybe as an offensive tackle, but I think he is also somebody who probably projects best to guard, as does, you know, Jonah Savanaia from Arizona, maybe Marcus Mbeau, who I think could be a better interior player than a tackle. So it just you get a lot of tweeners. The longer you let this draft go, you get a lot of tweeners in the offensive line, and so I'd probably pick the guy that I feel best about at least sticking it off into tackle there at the back end of the first.
Let's say that the Chiefs disagree with your stance, and let's say that they are hyper-focused on taking a pass rusher there. You want to put somebody alongside George Karlaftis. You want to put somebody alongside Charles Omenihu and Chris Jones. Who are some good possible fits on the back half of that first round that could help you on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think that they'll have the opportunity to pick a good player there if they want, right? Like an edge rusher like Braden Swinton, for example, from LSU, is somebody who I think the league could be pretty high on. Maybe a JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State. Those guys there on the edge could make sense. Yeah, maybe a guy like Landon Jackson gives you that length, that uniqueness that I feel as though the Chiefs continue to gravitate towards at that position. Maybe even a Nick Scorton from Texas A&M. These are players who I think all could potentially be available for them at the back end of the first round. If you want to go more towards the interior, I love an Omar Norman Lott. I think he'd be awesome next to Chris Jones. He is somebody from Tennessee who he's a little bit shorter. He's a little bit sawed off, if you will. Doesn't have the great length, but man, he's got an incredible first step. He's somebody that really knows how to convert speed to power. He can win very quickly. 88.3 pass rush grade against true passing sets last year. Wasn't used very much as a run defender, so might be a little one-dimensional when you draft him, but you could potentially mold him into that three-down player when you have him playing next to a guy like Chris Jones. Maybe a Darius Alexander from Toledo as well, who had a really good final season, a little bit older of a prospect, but somebody played great this past year in the MAC and then played very well at the Senior Bowl as well. He was one of the major standouts and somebody that was getting some first-round buzz after his week in Mobile. So I think those are a handful of players that you're thinking about there at the back end of the first two.
Brett Veach a couple of days ago did his, you know, pre-draft press conference, and he said that he believes that running back is the deepest class in this year's NFL draft. I think the Chiefs desperately need to add to that room when you think about the lack of explosiveness that they had last season. Also, if you're looking at it from a financial roster building standpoint, they don't have any running back under contract for next season. So you're going to have to start to think ahead a little bit. Where do you think the best value for the Chiefs is to pick a running back? I don't have them taking a running back in round one. I'd be very surprised if they did that. But I do think at some point over the weekend, they will take a running back.
Yeah, I think that it's probably round two or round three, right? That seems to be the sweet spot for the position and the value and how much of an impact player you could get. The two guys that I look at for them, Dylan Sampson from Tennessee and then Travion Henderson from Ohio State. Those are the two that I think can complement their room the best as it is currently constructed. So I think that even for next year, they're able to get in the lineup. They can really produce the way that they need to. They give them the speed element that's missing from that room right now. And then moving forward, I think both of those guys could be early down backs as well, not just speed backs, but players who can obviously be dynamic and difference-making for them. And you could really totally lean on them in any situation. So I think it is. It's round two, it's round three, and the two names that I keep coming to for the Chiefs that make the most sense are Dylan Sampson and Travion Henderson.
Where else do you see needs for the Kansas City Chiefs? Are you seeing it at wide receiver? Are you seeing it at another position on the field? When you kind of look at this team and evaluate what they need to do, I've seen other draft analysts call this a starter draft, that you can pick up three or four quality starters out of this draft. Where do you think the Chiefs need to benefit the most this draft cycle?
Yeah, I think that wide receiver, being able to pick up wide receiver, I think could make sense for them. I know they've got a handful of guys that they like, but a lot of them are sort of the same mold. Maybe getting a bigger body guy in there that they trust a little bit more in those contested catch situations. I know the tight end room is pretty deep to be able to do that, but maybe you can get yourself a wide receiver there as well. It's a pretty decent cornerback class, and I think that they'll have the opportunity to get An extra corner in there, an extra secondary member. I think one of those players could make sense for them. But honestly, this is just a big draft, in my opinion, for them to invest in the trenches. You know, it's been some changes for them over the last couple of off seasons, really trying to figure out how we solidify the trenches. And this team very much knows that their championship runs were certainly fueled by Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, but also what they're able to do in the trenches on both sides of the ball. So you're replacing Joe Tooney. Obviously, Trey Smith is back, but, you know, it's on a franchise tag type of a deal. So, making sure that the offensive line stays the way that it needs to. You're hoping that Kingsley Suamataia can play well for you at guard, but that's not something that's 100%, or you're hoping that it happens. But you just got to make sure the trenches are as good as they possibly can be. So maybe corners, wide receivers you're taking a look at. Running back, obviously, we touched on, but trenches. It's got to be a big trench draft for the Chiefs.
Last thing here, Trevor, and we appreciate your time. Every year, there is something that surprises us in the draft. Last year, it was the Atlanta Falcons with Michael Penix Jr. going 8th overall. If you had to call your shot, if you had to have a bold prediction, a bold take, what do you think that's going to be next Thursday? What's going to be the number one storyline heading into Friday?
And certainly how the quarterbacks go will determine everything. I still only think that we're getting two quarterbacks in the first round. Maybe I'll say that we're getting three running backs in the first round this year. I don't know how bold of a call that is or if it's not bold enough, but I think we're getting more than 2.5. Right now I see that the betting markets have it right around 2.5, and I think we're getting three, right? There's too many times that we bring up Omarion Hampton's name, and there's too many teams that really like Omarion Hampton. Okay, there's two. That's him and Ashton Jeanty, and then, man, everybody – if everybody's sitting here saying, like, oh, yeah, we'll easily get Quinshon Judkins or Travion Henderson or Caleb Johnson or one of those guys in the second round, well, if that many teams want him in the second round, maybe somebody's going to be willing to take him in the first as well. So I will say my bold prediction is we're getting three running backs in the first round this year.
That is Trevor Sikkema joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work for Pro Football Focus. He is their lead draft analyst. Be sure to check out their website. They have a big board of 300 players on there. If you want to stay up to date on everything happening with the NFL draft, Pro Football Focus is a great place to start. Trevor, you guys do fantastic work. We got a lot of respect for you guys on this show. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.